Hadley Base, Houston, over.
Go ahead.
Roger, Dave. It looks like we can tell you that at the present time our extrapolations indicate we will have sufficient oxygen for a completely nominal mission, including the plus recharge on EVA-3. This plus recharge, having the high enough pressure for the plus recharge, was our hardest constraint, and it looks like we meet it, although rather closely. Over.
Okay, well, we'll breathe slowly and save as much as we can.
Copy.
Houston Hadley, yeah, we've got another question for you since we're sitting here eating and looking around. Did you all, by chance, get any figures on our descent rate and touchdown? We're just taking a look out here. It looks like we may have stroked the gear sub, and as near as we can recall, we were coming down about a foot per second when we got the contact, and we just wondered if you had any data on that yet.
Okay, Dave, we have an answer for you, which is that we were showing 0.7 feet per second up to touchdown, and then at touchdown it appears that at the same point we got the roll and pitch that we picked up to something like 3.7 feet per second at that point. Over.
From 0.7 to 3.7 from contact to touchdown, is that right?
Dave, we're having to look at these based upon times. We don't see the contact light, and we don't really know when touchdown occurred, but we're looking at things like the times. You were coming down at 0.7 there all the way to the very end, and then at the same time that we see the pitch up and the rollover, we see an increase suddenly to 3.7. Over.
Oh, I see. Like we might have stuck our rear paw in a crater back there somewhere, huh?
I'll take it.
Like we might have stuck the rear pad in a crater back there somewhere, huh?
Either that or you touched down on something and fell through.
That's an interesting thought. Landing radar is pretty good data then. Okay, base at Hanley Base here. We're ready to talk over the EVA plan with you if you like.
Roger, Dave, we're ready to. First of all, we'll talk about the changes in the Traverse plan, which are very minimal, but for your planning, we're now showing a LEM location on the grid map in the coordinates of Bravo Romeo 3 and 75.5. Over.
Okay, Bob, we're going to have to get the ETB and pull the maps out just a second.
All right, Roger, I'll wait then.
Give me the coordinates again.
Roger, Bravo Romeo 3, 75.5. Over.
Roger, copy. Bravo Romeo 3,
75.5. Roger, and that's over there near November. Okay, that's to write down. The rest of this, for a while anyway, is kind of just advisory. This new location adds approximately 0.6 kilometers to the EVA-1 Traverse, and therefore about 6 minutes driving time. However, that's only provisionary, of course, and our indications of a beautiful flat plain out there may mean that we'll make up some of that time just in being able to drive faster than we were perhaps anticipating. If this is not the case, go ahead.
Before you get too far into that broad flat plain out there, I hope we made it clear that there is a fairly good population of craters which we're going to probably have to drive around. Even though there are no boulders, we're still going to have somewhat of a wander factor and avoiding 3 to 4 meter craters.
Okay, we realize that, Dave, and in order to keep the EVA total time to the maximum of 7 hours, the 6 minutes has already been deleted from the activities at the LEM at the end of the Traverse, so that's where we've taken up the slack at the present time. And then beyond that, no further changes have been made to the EVA-1 timeline. Over.
Okay, very good.
Okay, extra activities we'd like you to include. We'd like the big glass ball that you saw in the vicinity of the LEM could be picked up, hopefully, with a contingency sample if it's convenient. If not, it should be retrieved as part of the LRV preparation before the EVA Traverse. The geology people, for obvious reasons, they're rather interested in the large black rocks you described on the SIVA at 40 meters and 300 meters, and we'd like to pick those up before you leave sometime. And I guess a little note here, which sounds like motherhood to me, selected samples should be taken at the crew's convenience at the end of the EVA. As far as the rover's concerned, in our new position.
Okay, Bob, give us a couple of minutes after each of those comments to come back at you.
Roger. Wait.
Okay, we were just discussing the flags around the limb, and we can see a number of interesting rocks out here, and we thought it might be better to wait until we get back to the limb to pick them up and make sure we didn't disturb the surface around it. Although we can pick them up fairly quickly in the beginning, I guess it's your choice if you want to spend the time in the beginning or wait till we get back.
Roger, Dave. My first flip comment there was a comment before you leave the moon. The second comment on the selected sample should be taken at the crew's convenience at the end of the EVA was apparently intended by the geologist to mean selected samples of these black rocks and other interesting frags. Over.
Okay, well, do you specifically want us to pick up the glass ball and the black rocks before we start the EVA-1?
Stand by, Dave. Okay, Dave, we put the glass ball at a higher priority, apparently, because they were worried that the glass ball might get lost once the area gets mucked up a little bit, whereas the black rocks will probably still be there. Over.
Okay, I understand. And I guess the understanding of a contingency sample is that it's supposed to be typical of the surface around rather than an exotic.
I guess that's basically true. I guess that's basically true, Dave. However, they would like this little glass ball. You could also put it separately in a bag before you leave with the rover. Or I guess they really wouldn't mind, since they know particularly what it is, if it was part of the sample, contingency sample.
Okay, we'll take care of that.
Okay, let me talk to you about rover status. The additional distance to 0.6 will, and your new position will not affect the electrical power profile. It's really a very small and almost trivial distance. And secondly, the lens slope of the 90 degrees is within the angles of which the deployment is specified with 15 degrees. And also in the angles which have been tested. And I guess a couple of days ago they did tests of 15 degrees of pitch and 5 degrees of roll at Marshall, and 14 degrees of pitch and 14 degrees of roll. And right now, we will in real time have a mock-up at Marshall position corresponding to our pitch up of 9 and roll of 6 degrees. Over.
Okay, that's nice to hear. It sounds like those fellows are landing as usual.
Hope so. And as far as checklist changes, we have none. As far as TV plan updates, we have none.
Okay, understand.
And sometime, Dave, the medics would like a status report post-sleep. And when you're ready, Falcon, we got some consumables for you.
Okay, on a crew status, I guess We both got about 5 hours sleep based on time we went to bed, time we got up. No medication, and we're in good shape. And I guess you can go ahead to the consumables.
Roger, and how about a PDR or PRD or whatever they are, readouts?
Okay, I tell you, it would help us out if we could do that once a day. You know, they're stowed down in the suit pocket, and we got to do some digging to get them. We'll give them to you twice a day if you really need it, but it takes a little time.
Roger, Dave. I think they're only called out for once a day. We agree, and somehow, I guess Trans-Earth, we got in the, or Trans-Lunar, we got in the habit of getting them from you at the time when we didn't really need them, like at sleep. And we got them from you at sleep last night. It's just in the checklist, it calls them out for right now. But you're right, it is only a requirement once a day, and we did get it last night.
Status report as of in the evening before bed. Do you want them then or do you want them in the morning?
Say again, Dave. When did your crew status report happen?
Prior to the rest period.
Okay, flight plan shows it in the post-sleep. We'd like one this morning.
Make a decision.
Roger, we'd like one this morning before the EVA, and the surgeons promised they'll look at it today.
That's encouraging.
Okay, Bob, and I'm ready to copy the consumables.
Okay, this is for GET of 11640, RCSA 85B85. O2 descent 1, 78.5, tank 2, 78. O2 ascent 1, 99, tank 2, 99. H2O descent 1, 58, tank 2, 58. H2O ascent 1, 100%. Tank 2, 100%. Descent amp hours, 1538. Ascent amp hours, 572. Over.
Okay, I copy, Bob. Bob, I'm just looking at the descent water, and it looks like we're off about 12%. Is that any concern down there?
Roger, Jim, we didn't just suddenly lose that. That was Telemu's understanding of how we wanted the consumables updated. We're having a discussion about that right now. That was meant to be what your reading on board should be. I guess saying that if you're reading 58%, you're in good shape. Whereas there's a separate figure, which is the figure down here, which I guess is something like the 70% that I gave you a few minutes ago. That seems to be a question of how Telemu interprets what the consumables update should be, and we may change that around and let you know later.
Copy.
Okay, Hadley, this is Houston. The actual onboard figures, not the gauge figures that you'll read, but the actual onboard figures for water are descent 1, 70.7, and tank 2, 68.5. Over.
Copy that. Thank you.